Log Talk Radio.
Greetings and good morning to another hour of discernment on the 8th of February. I can't get past February. It's March, 8th of March. This morning's hour discernment is on John 11 and John 12. And I'm going to play Psalms 32. You know, blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. My prayer is create a clean heart in us, God. So I'm going to key that up.
Psalm 32, a psalm of David, Maskell. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse, or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart.
When the verse 9, be not as the horse, or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Bible talks all the way through about being stiff-necked.
Yeah. And I think the believer could say not to grieve or quench the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Okay. That's, you know. Well, you know, the Psalms are full of, of the basic battle that we fight on a daily basis right here, right now in 2019, you know. Good morning, Christopher.
Good morning, everyone.
Yeah. Hi, good morning, Chris.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to key up chapter 11 of John, the first 22 verses.
Chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, He whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he saith to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee.
I think of something when Jesus purposely waited for Lazarus to die. It's just the opposite of the way we would think. You know, we couldn't imagine how he could do that unless we understood he was going to raise him from the dead. But that verse about saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. You know, as far above your head as the clouds are my thoughts and ways above you. That passage there where Jesus waits for Lazarus to die, that's a perfect picture of how God has ways other than the way we would imagine things to be. And it's always a reminder to us that every time we see something or somebody says something, we have to see it from God's perspective and not from the earth's view of it.
Well, I'm going to key up the 23 to 40.
Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way, and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come, and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly, and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary that she rose up hastily, and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?
In verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He's declaring his deity, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Yeah, but Jesus, as the God-man, he wept. So he has human, he's human as much as he is God. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have wept out of compassion for his friend.
Yeah.
Sides of his natures. You're seeing both natures in the Lord here.
Right.
Right. Good. Yeah.
I'm going to key up 41 to the finish of 57.
Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council, and said, What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, But being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, What think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment, that if any man knew where he was, he should show it, that they might take him.
Verse 48, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. Isn't that referring to their threat of losing their power?
Yes, yes.
And 37 years later, they lost their temple by the Romans, tread it down anyway.
They were all displaced, too. So looking at the name Lazarus, the Hebrew is Eleazar. That's his name, his Hebrew name. That was the first son of Aaron. That's the same name. He was the second high priest. I wonder if that has anything to do with, I don't know. Eleazar is, God helps. That's the meaning of Eleazar.
You say
and there's
Eleazar.
Never any mention. Excuse me?
You say Eleazar and Lazarus are the same name?
Yeah. Lazarus is the Greek. Eleazar is the Hebrew. Huh. And it mentions that they're brothers and sisters. There's no mention of either of the three having wives or husbands. They live together in this brother and sister harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And they must have been well known, Bethany. They must have, all those people mourning one man's death, they must have been well liked or.
Yeah.
You know, I noticed kind of when you read this chapter, and it's, you know, if we had been there as witnesses, we would have been kind of speechless, you know, and in awe of our Savior, you know.
That's right.
Because you think that there's people here that had seen some of the miracles prior to this, and when Lazarus came forth, you know, it left them speechless.
Well, the priestly establishment said that all men are going to follow this guy. I mean, they say everybody's going to come after this guy if we don't get rid of Lazarus and this man.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole world, they said in one verse, the whole world goes after this guy.
Huh. and it definitely probably shook the Pharisees. You know,
how soon is this before the crucifixion? The raising of Lazarus.
I don't know.
The timeline. I don't either. I never stopped and looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And John's the only one that talks about it.
Yeah,
the other three evangelists never mention Lazarus.
Is there any closing comments on chapter 11?
No.
Yeah, to answer Gary's question about the crucifixion, I mean, this is chapter 11, and the next chapter, chapter 12, is when Jesus, I believe, comes from Jericho into Bethany 6 days before the Passover. So
It's fairly close. Like a week. Yeah, probably a couple of weeks.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm always taken by verse 39, where it says, Jesus says, take away the stone. And similarly, we read the story about the man that Jesus put some dirt on, he spit on some dirt and put it on the man's eyes. And there was a progression of the miracle. It wasn't just an instantaneous occurrence. I'm trying to think of what other instant miracles Jesus performed. But anybody got one? That we, you know, just
says,
like that.
He touches one man's eyes and says, "What do you see?" He says, "I see trees, men that look like
right.
trees."
Yeah.
Then he touches
yeah,
him again
see,
and he says, "Now what do you see?"
Yeah. I've always wondered about that. Someone said it was progressive miracle. And and so Jesus wanted them to enter into what he was going to do. What, Gary?
I see like this every day.
Oh, progressive. Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's progressively turning blind. I look at something and don't know what it is until I get closer to it. I can look at a lamppost up the sidewalk and think it's a person until I get closer to
it. That's true to me, yeah.
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 But I mean, Jesus could have just willed Lazarus to be in his presence, you know, instantly. But he told them to move the stone away. You know, they're gonna enter into, and they're gonna watch this miracle take place. And yet they were called to do something that they would otherwise never think to do. But and that's an assist to our faith, I believe. You know.
Yeah, he said move the stone and they
Yeah, the Lord speaks and then we step out in faith, not really knowing what the next thing is gonna happen. But
What were their words after he said remove the stone? They said, "Well, Lord, he's gonna be stinking. He's been in there 4 days."
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, we have thoughts like that. We have a thought to do something, and then Satan will bring a thought to us and say, "Well, you can't do that, or that'll never happen." And yet we have to say, "With the Lord, all things are possible." And sometimes we just have to step out in faith, seeing the first step and not knowing what the second step will be. Yeah.
Right.
See the progression of intensity of these miracles through the ministry of Jesus. The first one was water into wine, and then he heals blind people, you know, and then he raises a dead man, and then he himself is raised from the dead and ascends into heaven. I mean, it's an upward progression of intensity of miracles.
Yeah. I like what Jesus said. He said, I have the power to lay down my life and pick it up again. That's deity right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we're
told
that's
why he died
in the
6 hour on the cross.
Yeah. Right. And then we're told elsewhere the Father raised the Son, and then somewhere else it says the Holy Spirit raised Christ. So it was the Godhead that brought him up.
And Jesus even explains what death is. You know, he likens death to sleep.
Yeah, Stephen fell asleep when he was stoned to death. Yeah.
And it's also a proof text. It's also a proof text when he says that the resurrection at the last day. So the last day is when the resurrection will happen.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of the living, not the God of the dead.
Yeah. But what does it mean, though, in Revelation when it says that the rest of the dead live not until after 1,000 years? How do we understand that? Do you remember that passage?
Yeah.
Talking about the dead in Christ being risen. And then it says the rest of the dead live not till after 1,000 years. I would suspect those are the wicked dead. But I don't know whether it's a common resurrection, as it suggests in other passages, or whether it's a delayed resurrection of the righteous first and then the wicked second. But why 1,000 years delay? I'm not understanding that right, unless the numbers in Revelation are to be seen as spiritual and not literal. I don't know.
And it's not a progressive history. That's dispensationalists make it out to be.
Yeah.
They think of it as progressively historic, and this comes, and then this comes, and then this comes, and then this comes.
Right.
Yeah.
It seems
just
pretty clear from. Yeah. Go ahead, Gary.
No, it's just spiritual. It's you got to let Scripture interpret Scripture.
Okay. Yeah, because
look
other
at that,
verses elsewhere.
I'll have to see what Alfred had to say on it.
Yeah. There's other verses that clearly say the resurrection of the just and the unjust. And it sounds like it's one resurrection, you know, with the two coming forth. Jesus says that the time is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of Man. They that are dead will rise up. So, out of the graves, you know, so. I don't know, but I'm not worried about it because I know that the saints will all be called up at one time, you know, when the Lord wakes them up, and then we that are alive and remain will be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air.
Yeah, I struggled with that verse for a while, we that are alive and remain, but two verses earlier, it explains better. It says, you know, that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. So the people that are still alive when the Lord comes at the end.
Yes, yes. Yeah, won't that be beautiful? While all the others will be running to the rocks, asking the rocks to hide them from the face of the Lord. And we'll be just standing there in perfect peace. Praise the Lord. Clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Yeah, praise the Lord. That is beautiful. That'll be like it says, all of creation eagerly await the manifestation of the sons of God. Boy, that'll be the time to know who's real.
And you probably wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of that equation.
No, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to key up John chapter 12, 1 to 22.
Chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave, and raised him from the dead, bare record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they had heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus.
Yeah, this is a very mathematical chapter, you know, related to the 3 days and three nights. Like, it would be a very long explanation, but it is quite an important chapter to decipher the mystery of the 3 days and three nights.
Yeah, it's interesting that the Jews wanted to put Lazarus to death, knowing that Jesus had just raised him from the dead. They should have had the thought that death would have no power over Lazarus.
Yeah, and people wanted to see Lazarus just as much as they wanted to see Jesus, you know, because of all the fame of the raising Lazarus from the dead.
Yes. Yeah.
This is probably...
Go ahead.
It's like a spectacle. Sorry. You go first.
No, it's just like a spectacle, something to see, something new, something interesting.
This was the height. This was the height of the indignation by the high priest.
Mm.
disciples gone after Jesus, and they're afraid they'll lose their place and their little business that they got
going
on.
Yes, that's right. Sure. Right.
Power and control over the people.
Mm-hmm.
The Sadducees ran the temple. Pharisees ran the people to the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, this should be required reading in school, you know, like it's such a rich book, the Book of John.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It'll never be read again in the public school.
Well, yeah, it teaches the principle of the love of money is the root of all evil. And Judas Iscariot had a love of money, and his greatest evil was to betray Christ. That's why in the Psalms, I think, it says if you desire their dainties, put a knife to your throat. Anybody remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pretense of Judas is actually it's comical, but it's sad that he was a thief. He didn't care about the poor. And he had the bag. There's another proverb that talks about I'll paraphrase this as best I can, and I think you'll remember it. You work and work, and you put money into a bag with holes in it.
Yes, that's right.
A bag with holes in it. That reminds me of inflation.
Uh-huh.
So. The Judas hypocrisy was really beyond it. You know, like he really cared for the poor and how Harry was a thief. He had the bag.
Yeah.
His bag holes in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also found it amusing. I also found it amusing when Jesus, asked people, where have you buried Lazarus? If he didn't know.
Oh, okay, yeah, right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jesus is setting up the theater here.
Mm-hmm.
Human, like anybody else, and he brings us the deity.
Right.
The approach.
Yeah, that's like God calling out in the garden, Adam, where art thou?
Yeah, there you go.
He knew,
of course, where Adam and Eve are. And then they say, well, we were afraid. We hid ourselves because we were naked. And God says, who told you that you were naked?
Yeah.
That was their own conscience that they were naked.
Yeah.
It's kind of semi some of the stuff, but it's sad.
Right.
Because what comes.
I think in Romans it says that God has placed in the conscience of every man the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah. It's what Romans 1 says.
So we're all ashamed of our sin. And we all cover ourselves just by the instinct of our nature, sinful nature. Pretty good.
Yeah. it's always a reminder.
Go ahead, Walt.
It's always a reminder when that happens, where you have to go back to the anchor. The anchor keeps you in the right spot. I mean, in other words, it doesn't let you drift.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, it says the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So he really will drift and wander and flounder. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Stable as water.
Mm-hmm.
And this miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus probably knew that this would be the tipping point would want to kill him, because this miracle was, seemed to be far greater than any other miracle that he had performed.
Yeah. Yeah. Had he risen the dead prior to that?
Well, Elijah chronologically. Did. In the Old Testament, there's some Old Testament prophets that did. That laid
wasn't
on
that
body
the young girl?
Right. But in the chronology, I don't know where the... Yeah, Tabitha. He raised her from the dead.
Tabitha? Yeah.
But I don't know when. Whether it was before Lazarus or after Lazarus, I don't.
Probably before.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
A secluded company. This one went out to the whole world.
Yeah.
The whole
world
would follow. They were afraid of.
Yeah.
It was more public.
Yeah. That. Mhm.
The Lazarus one seemed to get a lot more publicity, didn't it?
Yeah, right, that's right.
Well, the fact is Jesus is setting up the chronology of the intensity as the miracles get greater and greater right up to the feast day.
Mm-hmm.
It actually lets the people see what's going on, yet for fear of the Jews, some of them fall back. And, just like today, they just fall back.
Mm-hmm.
Lord did...
Go, Chris.
Well, I was just going to say that the Lord said, you believe because you've seen these miracles, but more blessed are those that believe and yet have never seen, and that would be talking about us, brethren.
Yeah, beautiful. That's right.
We've never seen a miracle.
I think at the end of 1 Corinthians 14, where it says, "Now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of these is charity." He says that right after he says that tongues and prophecies would cease. And so, and those, of course, were for the confirmation of the gospel in the early church. But now the sign and the wonder in the church now is the love that we have for one another. And by that, the world will know that we are of Christ.
Yeah, that's good.
And
greater. Tongue. I think tongues were there for the beginning, not anything like what they call tongues today. That's a joke.
No, that's right.
Tongues were there to help get the gospel off. On its footing, there.
Sure.
The Lord used tongues to sign and to communicate between other other nations with different languages.
Yeah.
That was a miracle of rain. It's translated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, in the end of the age, there will be lying signs and wonders. And so we shouldn't be surprised when we hear reports of things that truly have no explanation, that are being done in churches and you know, large assemblies. I'm on the internet in Africa and in India, and I'm watching what's going on down there, and it's we call Africa the dark continent for a good reason, not just because of the black skin, but because of the darkness of spirituality. They mix whatever Christianity they have there. It seems that they mix it with all their pagan ritual and activities as well. It's interesting. Yeah, very interesting.
It's sad.
It is.
There's
it
far
is because
off.
Yeah,
our local assembly
because,
is sad.
Yeah, because these ministers of false gospels in the United States and in Britain and Australia, they go to those countries and stoke them. They get them all excited and they mesmerize them and hypnotize them, and then they end up being just like their teachers that were there, you know. And they want to keep it going after those people leave. And it's so obvious to me to see what's happening. And you try to explain it to someone down there, and they just, you know, they're thoroughly convinced they're right, and the reformers are wrong. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All world religions are a mix of paganism and a little bit of Christianity. But getting back to Lazarus, perhaps the reason that miracle got the most notoriety is that, first of all, it was 4 days. And then, you know, the sheer number of witnesses, you know, of his death and, you know, at the raising of Lazarus from the dead, that's something that could not be.
You know, you're absolutely right, because the fact that they wanted to kill Lazarus as well, they wanted to put an end to this because they were losing their power. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I wonder what these fake churches today, what it would take for them to openly lose their power and be embarrassed in front of the whole world. I mean, I guess it's going to take the return
take
of Jesus Christ to point them out, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say take away their tax-exempt status and the whole organization would crumble. Yeah,
you bet. That might help.
Yeah.
They won't. Yeah. It's all cahoots.
No, that's right.
It's all connected. They're all connected. Fake Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
It's money involved, see. And in the day of the Pharisees, there was too much money involved.
Mm-hmm.
They were double every shekel. I mean, you can't do better than that.
Yeah, you told us about that yesterday. Yeah, that was
a
good.
Great return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Well, I also believe that when they brought the animals for sacrifices for those three holy days that all Jews and proselytes had to be in Jerusalem, they also had the animals in the temple. The priest did. And they would look at the animal you brought and say that that's unclean. There's something wrong with it. You know, spotted colors or broken, bent back or whatever they could find. And then they would sell you an animal that they thought was, And so they profited in that way as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. They had all the bases covered because they were coming to them, worship at their temple, and to worship their idea of who God is. And they thought they were doing the right. They didn't mean any harm, but they're doing what they thought they should do. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the whole Herodians, they were very blatantly wicked and trustworthy.
Yeah. Well, that's why the Gentiles rejoiced when they got that letter from Jerusalem with Paul and Silas, the four don'ts. You remember that one? That they weren't. Yeah, the letter that Paul and Silas brought to the Gentiles to tell them how they should behave as Christians. but they weren't to do any of the regulations of Judaism, which they thrilled to hear. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the law. Who was it that lately, Andy Stanley, who's just inherited his daddy's medicine, Charles Stanley.
Yeah.
He's made this pronouncement, brothers. It's time that we unhinge from the Old Testament, unquote.
Wow, yeah. Wow.
Give us a break.
Yeah, really. Wow.
Yeah, what really matters is not like a list of 10 things you have to do. What really matters is this. You know how they always have those big lists on the Stanley Show, like of things you have to do and all these regulations. But, you know, Christ is a lot simpler than that.
Yeah.
Christ doesn't put burdens on you.
No.
No.
Yeah, it says we keep his commandments, but his commandments are not grievous. They're not that hard. And he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And it's really beautiful.
And following man's laws, it is very grievous.
Yes, it is. I'm sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, John is such a rich chap, you know, such a rich book. You know, it's, I mean, we could find details all day long.
Book has no peer.
Okay. I'm going to key up verses 23 and 36.
And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, and angels spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them.
In verse 27, when Jesus says, now is my soul troubled, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. That was a clear picture of his humanity. I mean, anyone would want to be spared what he had to go through. And then yet he says, but he understood that for that cause did he come into the world. that hour was his, and he would glorify the Father by going through it. And then the other thought I had was talking about the corn of wheat in verse 24. He's talking about himself being that corn of wheat that goes into the ground and is gone. And we have to see our lives as Christians as going into death, and that's a picture of baptism, that we are seeing ourselves dead to our former life and our former affections and lusts and what we were by nature, that we would now rise in newness of life to follow Christ. And as Christians, we die daily to our flesh nature, so that the fruits of the Spirit would be shown forth in us.
Well, that's right, brother. That's the good hope. That's the good hope we all share.
Yeah.
Yeah, and verse 24, you know, bringing forth much fruit, it makes us remember that Christ on that Sunday morning was waiting there where Mary Magdalene was. He was waiting to be the first fruits of the harvest, you know, before he ascended up to heaven and he was accepted by the Father as the first fruits of the harvest, the first fruits of the second coming,
yeah,
the rest
right.
of us second coming.
That prior verse, though, that fruit that Jesus is that he brings forth much fruit, that's us, brethren.
Yeah, that's good. Beautiful.
Yeah,
well,
referring to eternal life, but Christ himself is the first fruits of that eternal life, like the first heir of the inheritance of God for the elect.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We're getting prepared now. We're prepared now, but I mean, we are going to be ultimate inheritors with Christ at the second coming.
Yeah.
That's hard to understand, that the Lord even mm-hmm. begins to share any glory with us. Isn't heaven enough? But he even shares glory with us, and that's hard for me to comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, great.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the parable of the wheat and the tares. You know, we're still in the ground with the tares, and we're both growing
mm-hmm.
together. You know, eventually we will join Jesus, you know, after we get harvested at the second coming. The fruit will blossom.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Now the tares are in the world, but they're also in the church, in the visible church. Yeah, people with, yeah, you hear people, preachers say that the tares are only in the world, but not in the church. I don't think so.
Oh no! See, they understand their church is to be a real church, is to have the truth. And I think all of you can attest, these churches are about 95% of them are way off.
Have
no understanding, and there's no salvation there.
No, that's right. That's right.
They sure won't have us there, will they?
No, that's right.
Well,
so in Revelation, it talks about... Go ahead.
I say when we show up, they ask us to leave. They ask us to be quiet or leave.
Yeah, that's
that situation that's been going on a long time all through my walk.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Revelation it says that the New Jerusalem comes down as a bride prepared for her husband.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit prepares us by sanctifying us. And we're being ready to be presented.
Kevin, you're breaking up. I heard a beep, beep, beep. Maybe if it was yours, maybe it sounded like a battery was going dead earlier.
No, my phone is fully charged. I don't know.
Maybe somebody else.
I know what I can do. I've got my Bluetooth in, but what I'll do is I'll put my headphones on. Just a second.
Did anyone hear a beep beep all throughout this study? That's indicative of someone's battery
just
losing power.
Yeah, it could be the Bluetooth is getting weak. Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, that's better now. I'm not breaking up now, right?
You're fine.
No, you're good.
Okay, that's good. Okay. Yeah, these electronic toys are. Not
you were saying
what they're. Oh, okay. Yeah,
yeah,
about Revelation, talking about the new Jerusalem that comes down as a bride prepared for her husband, you know, and the Holy Spirit, through sanctifying us and conforming us to the image of Christ, is preparing us for our husband who will appear to us. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's truly taken spiritually.
Amen. No.
Yeah. That is a wonderful blessing.
Yes.
To be even counted in the family of God.
Sure.
Verse 27, when he says, Father, save me from this hour. You know, up to before that point, you know, Jesus had never been separated from God, and he was going to have to be separated for a little time, you know, during the crucifixion.
Yeah.
And that's, you know,
right.
Probably part of the reason he was sweating blood, because he knew that he was going to be separated from the Father for a very short time. But even that very short time was, you know, a painful, was a painful thought, you know, because he had never been separated from God the Father.
It's true. And that separation from the Father was actually, from man's time perspective, forever. It was a long time, even though it only could contain 6 hours. Think about, you know, people go to hell, and that's forever, and Christ died for all the elect's time in hell, which is forever. I don't understand that compression of time, but I believe the Lord.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
You know, Jesus came here to reconcile us back to the Father, to die on that cross for the sins of many. Not everybody, but many.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And we are recipients of that wonderful gift. But the Father actually turned his back on Jesus when Jesus was on the cross, because the Father can't look at sin. No sin can dwell. No flesh can dwell in the presence of God.
Yeah. Right, right.
And Jesus felt that, and that broke his heart on that cross. I think that was the most painful aspect of crucifixion, was that his own dear Father turned his back on him.
Then,
or just for a short time, like you said, but an eternity, really.
Right. And the beautiful thing in that transaction of his taking our sins upon himself, then he gives us his righteousness and his perfection.
Yeah.
And that,
what,
that,
what a small deal, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just wonderful.
And when you contrast that with what the world has to offer for just a short time again, or even in those days, Pharisees had to offer, if you would come under their knuckles and do their bidding.
Exactly.
That prior verse, you know, a few verses back, they talked about when Lazarus was raised, and a lot of the Jews believed, but some of them went and told the Pharisee, little hisses, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty pathetic. They couldn't sit there and realize the reality. But they had to go talk to them. And again, that all falls under for fear of the Jews, you know.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
It wasn't enough that they had God in their presence. They didn't know it, because God veiled their eyes, apparently, Lazarus breaking back to life. And a lot of them went and just copped out to the Jews, to the Pharisees, and And a lot of them sat there and said, we don't need the Pharisees. We got the King of Kings here.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's the great danger of sitting in a church where you know the gospel isn't being preached. And you're just there. And then you get talking with the people there. And pretty soon you begin to think like they think. And the, and their reasoning impresses you. And you have to get out of that. You have to guard your heart with all diligence and flee, you know. And God will give you fellowship. He'll give.
See any of this five group ever succumbing and going back to that. I don't see it.
No, no, no way. No, no.
I think we're I think we're fixed, brother, and we're fixed.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, praise the Lord.
And there are two aspects to Jesus entering Jerusalem. You know, just before the crucifixion, in that week, you know, it's judgment, but it's also blessing for the elect.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's right.
God has to God has to punish sin, but for his elect, you know, he gives them a pass through his sacrifice.
Amen. Amen. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it, Walt?
Well, it's very edifying to just listen and also the simplicity of the gospel. You know, mm-hmm. in the world they make it so complicated. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and another when we get in other studies, but you know, I like to hear other brothers and sisters. You know. I don't know how to word this question, but in other words, once we are born again, we have light, we're to exercise
it. Yeah, no, yeah, not to hide it under a bushel or under the bed. Right.
And also we grow. You know, I'm going to put a. Play the 37 to 50, the last part of 12 here.
But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men, more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me, and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say, and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 43, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And that's a trap we all have to, let God be true and every man a liar. And it's real easy,
mm-hmm.
it's real easy to get sidetracked on a man. You know, I feel like, you know, when we're talking here, in other words, none of us are elevated above the other one. We're children of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy in this day and age. I mean, man, when you turn advertising or the news or anything, it's always they're pushing a man, you know, and Jesus, you know, he addresses this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like the authority that Jesus gave the church by saying to them, you tell them that when they hear you, they hear me. And in hearing me, they also hear the one who sent me. So this is that providing we are speaking the truth, you know, of God's word. There's something here. We read in 38, a passage from Isaiah. And he says, who has believed our report? And the continuation of that in the passage in the Old Testament is those that are taken from the breast and weaned from the milk, and they're babies. And so are we. Like Jesus said, you must be converted and become as a little child, or you'll have no part with the kingdom of God. So we have to be teachable. We have to be brought to that point, because naturally we're not there at all. But that's what the converting process is to mold us, and over time it causes us to yield and surrender and become as babes, teachable, to be led by the word of God.
Well, we're born babies. We're not born adults. So you have to be reborn, reborn again.
As a baby. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
You don't come out a fully grown adult.
No, that's very good. That's good, Gary. Yeah.
What did Nicodemus say? What, I got to crawl back in the womb? What do you mean I got to be born again?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's right.
And in verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. Like, we don't normally associate the chief rulers with being believers, but even many of those people were God's elect by what I read into this verse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a remnant. All throughout Israel, there's mm-hmm. a remnant. There's always a remnant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was the thing?
Yeah.
Oh, the manna. And it was the manna. You were supposed to collect so much. And it was a tenth. It was a tenth of a measurement. So even the manna was a remnant. That is a picture of remnant. There's always a remnant.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading, Exodus, yeah.
Tenth of an omer, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever
amount. So the tenth is a remnant. It's always a picture of a remnant throughout Scripture.
Yeah.
With the common people, you know, the famous saying from the Bible about the common people is that the common people heard him gladly. But this is unusual for, you know, to say that the chief rulers, many of them believed.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually the leadership is, you know, the portrayed as the faithless.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah. As it says, the poor are chosen to be rich in faith. And that would be the poor in spirit, not necessarily economic poverty.
But yeah, the poor.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's spiritual drought.
That's
all that matters. Once this world's all gone and dissolved, that's all
that
matters. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't take it with you, you know?
Right.
Yeah, the light of the world, can that be likened to the filling of the Holy Spirit within oneself?
Oh, I am come. Verse 46, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. That whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Well, yeah, because the natural state of man is darkness, and so Christ comes into the world, but only the elect can see the light, because darkness comprehends not the light.
Yeah, and this belief, of theirs came even before Pentecost, the day of Pentecost.
Yeah, you know, the apostles had waves of great boldness and fearlessness before the upper room Pentecost, Holy Spirit. But once the Holy Spirit came, they didn't waver. They were bold. And strong. And
Yeah, because they were willing to die if need be, because they knew Christ's death wasn't the end of it. And neither would theirs.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before, they were afraid of the Jews.
Yeah. Well, Go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, just quickly about the 1,000 years. Like, the 1,000 years could be an indefinite number, like when we were talking about it before.
Oh, yeah.
So you're talking about from Revelation 20, and it's speaking of the binding of Satan. It's whatever that gets into. I have to read what Alfred had to say.
Then he's released.
But that's
released
from,
after.
What that verse you mentioned is from Revelation 20, verse 5.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Pastor Chomp would say about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you talk about fearlessness, I have to tell this little story, because I worked for an employer that was a Mason, and he was very powerful, very strong in the spirit of his belief, and the employees were all afraid of him. I mean, he was very intimidating. And so he told me one day that he had to lay me off for a while, and he didn't know when he would call me back. And I said, well, the Lord knows when I'll be back. And he didn't like that. He got very angry because I was slighting what he had just told me. But I had shared the scriptures with him quite a bit before that exchange that I had with him. In fact, his mother died, and he asked me one time where I thought she was. And I had to tell him that if she was a Roman Catholic, as he said she was, then she probably never heard the gospel and she was never saved. So, but after he got so angry with me about me telling him that I would come back when the Lord brought me back, he began to get very soft and very quiet, and we talked a lot about the Bible. He took his percent of the ownership of the company and left and bought a farm in North Dakota. And he's going to a church there now. It's a Methodist church. I wish he could find a Reformed church. But you know, there was a change in that man. And it was because of the Word of God that the Lord had me speak to him without fear, without any fear. And that was unlike the other employees that he'd been dealing with.
Did he ever bring you back? Yeah, that's good. Did he ever bring you back?
Oh, yeah, I came back. Yeah, but he didn't say anything.
Right.
Yeah, and I didn't thank him for bringing. Yeah, I didn't thank him for bringing me back, because I wanted to leave in his mind who it was that brought me back. You know.
Right.
So it was a wonderful thing. I would pray that he would be converted. You know.
Well, he didn't like that initial usurping of his foremanship or ownership or whatever.
That's right, yeah. That he would decide when I would come back. And
yeah,
no
right.
One else.
Yeah. Isn't that mankind all over? Huh?
That's right, that's right. But
you say he went and bought a farm in North Dakota?
Yeah, he did, near Fargo.
North Dakota? Does anything grow out of what good can come out of North Dakota? Does anything grow? What good can come out of Nazareth or Galilee?
Go ahead. What is it, John?
North Dakota is the biggest producer of honey.
Oh, is that right?
Okay.
Well,
okay.
Then the bees know where to go. Right.
Yeah.
And
but that's a cold place. I can tell you they do have a national bank that's solid up there. It's not a lot different than the other 49 banks. It's more free, up there. But
well,
it seems so torridly cold.
Oh, it is. Oh, yeah, it is. But he came down to visit us one time, and he was wearing mukluks. You know those things the Eskimos wear, those boots made out of, caribou, yeah. So he has a brother that's in politics in Arizona, and so he's kind of a voice up there in that town where he lives, and he's being educated from the city, he's got potential up there for politics if he wants it, but we'll see in the end where he ends up. He wanted to I think he wanted to get to know the Lord in truth and live a simple life. I think that's what happened to him.
Have you and him been corresponding since?
A couple times. But I talked with a man at the senior center, and I go there twice a week for exercise and lunch. And I talked with this man who worked there when I worked there. And he talks with him a lot, and he goes and visits him on occasion, maybe a couple times a year. And so he talks to me about me because I sit and talk with him at the senior center. So he is hearing from me through this other man. So that's as far as I can take it. But I want to refer to him to a Reformed church, if there is one up there. Yeah.
I can make one comment about the gospel. Like, there's a lot of elect that have never heard the gospel and have died. Nevertheless, some of them could be elect. I mean, some people can't read. Some people don't have access to the Word of God. There's even lots of people in the Catholic Church that are elect because God says, "Come out of her, my people." So, just because, not everybody is afforded the luxury, let's say, of having a King James Bible, it doesn't mean that they can't be elect. I mean, it's just that they don't have the, that direct knowledge. But, whatever's in their hearts from God is valid nonetheless.
Yeah.
Well, brothers, it's been a great, and thanks, Kevin, for sharing that story. But it's been an hour and 25 minutes, and so we'll see you tomorrow morning, same time.
Okay. Sure.
It's really been a blessing. I mean, I find myself really been edified in these studies we have, and so I thank every one of you brothers and sisters for sharing and being here. So. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for what you're doing.
Pleasure,
man.
Well.
Man was saved by grace alone, but by his works his faith is shown. His life reflects the work God has done through the light of his holy Son. There's nothing man can do. He cannot earn a thing. It's only through God's Son, the grace that he will bring. There's nothing man can say to God who lifts the moon. It's only by God's grace. It's not what man can do. God has chosen who he will call. It's not by man's choice at all. Mercy's given at such a great cost through the blood of his Son on the cross. It's only through God's Son, the grace that He will bring. There's nothing man can say to God who lifts the moon. It's only by God's grace. It's not what man can do. There's nothing man can do. Man was saved by grace alone.